The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 11th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. It's another gorgeous day in Auburn, Alabama, and lots to get to here on the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. Man, we're going to have some fun on the show today, and it's a little bit of a different free-for-all Friday because there's no Auburn game to talk about coming up tomorrow. And look, maybe some of you are in the same boat we are. We just need a little bit of a break, right? We need a little bit of a break from talking about what Auburn has to do to not lose, how they can get over the hump, or how they can try to salvage a recruiting class. And good news is, there is things to talk about on that side of it, right? Recruiting news and other college football games. So much is happening around us, even though Auburn University doesn't play this weekend. We're going to get to all of that here on the Friday edition of On the Line. A packed house here on this Friday. He's with me every Monday and Friday. He's wild. He's crazy. He is your favorite Uncle T-Bone. My man, good to see you. Happy Friday.
Yeah, good to be seen. Happy Friday. Happy free-for-all Friday out there in radio land. Give us a call, 334-321-1390, or text us at 334-784-1067 here at ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika. On the line, the show that tells it like it is, Jacob, and holds nothing back. There's no Auburn football this weekend, and that's probably a good thing. They need a break. We need a break. Everybody needs a break. But there's a lot to talk about, and the college football world will keep spinning. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, will be with us. And in studio, also, the voice of the Lee Scott Warriors, my man, Christian Griffin. How are you, Christian?
Man, I'm doing well. I'm happy that Lee Scott's back on the airwaves, back on another Friday night here at home, taking on the Wadley Bulldogs, the undefeated Wadley Bulldogs. And Lee Scott going through a two-game skid, something they haven't experienced since 2020, which is a crazy thought to think about. But I'm kind of in the same boat that y'all are. Happy that we get to watch football, but don't necessarily have to watch too stressful, right? Or don't have to watch too worried about making sure things go right or things go wrong. I'm enjoying the college football and the NFL every single day until November 27th. We've had a bunch of really good games throughout the week. We had one on Tuesday with Liberty and Florida International going to overtime. Had one Wednesday with Jacksonville State taking care of business against New Mexico State. Had a bunch of games on Thursday night. Have some more games tonight. I mean, what a time to be alive. Football until November 27th, Jacob. I mean, I know you're an NFL guy too, but college football, the maction throughout the week. College football all the way around, but we don't have to worry about the stress or anything of Auburn football.
Yeah, it's nice when you have a weekend like it is. This is one that has been circled on people's calendars since the start of the year.
Since June, or even before then.
It's crazy to look around and see what college football is going to bring us this weekend. And there's no better way to get this conversation started with a guy that is 14-4 over the last two weekends. Both of their 45-unit plays, gentlemen, have been victorious. And they continue to roll. The deals are flowing. The picks are flowing. And we're having a good time. We bring in our man Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Lee, it's another big weekend of college football, and I know you're getting ready for it.
It is. My wife said to me, she goes, I have a cousin in town. Would you like to go out to dinner with them Saturday night? I'm like, no. she says, well, what do you think? I'm like, you can have them come over. If they want to take a seat, if we have an open chair in the man cave, fine. But other than that, be my guest. Take my charge card. Go out to dinner with them.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those weekends where dinner's not allowed, weddings aren't right. allowed. I mean, this is a weekend of college football where you need to be sitting down, multiple TVs on, and taking it all in. And we're really looking forward to talking with you on the games that you have picked for us here today. Tell people.
And what's interesting, we're going to discuss a bunch of, you know, games where teams upcoming on the Auburn Tiger schedule. So
yeah,
that's going to be interesting. Watch some teams that they're going to be up against in the next month or two.
Absolutely. Well, hey, before we dive into those, tell people where they can find you, what you got going on this weekend for what is possibly the biggest weekend of college football.
Yeah. So they want to get involved. So with the win last night, we're now 15-4 the last 2 weeks. I don't think there's anyone in the country that's hotter. And not only are we going 15-4, we had a 35 and a 45 unit play each of the last 2 weeks. Why are those important? We rate our plays from 10 to 50 units, and over the last 16 years since we went to this rating system, we're now 68-24 on our 40 to 50 unit max wager bet. So when it's not just going like 15-4, when you're giving out a double unit play at like a 45 unit play, in a bigger play like 35 units, it's like being 19 or 20-4. So we've been able to hit a high percentage of those. Normally you've got to be a monthly or season subscriber to get our 40 to 50 unit max wager plays. I've never done this before in 31 years.
Uh-oh.
If someone wants to come on board, like I said, normally they've got to be with me a month or a season. When we sell these, you know, like Baker's Dozen, it's 13 games. You get a list of games, and you bet them, same amount. I have five games I like on Saturday, and one of them is a 40 to 50 unit max wager, and five on Sunday, one of them is a max wager. I'm selling both days for $55. Normally, it's like $5.97 for the month, so if you're trying it on your own and it's not working out or using someone else or – you know, maybe you were delayed and you're ready finally to get going, or didn't have the scratch to come up for a month or a season. Try me either day or both days. 5 for $55. It's an immediate download. They have the ratings from 10 to 50 units, and it will include a 40 to 50 unit max wager each day. How do you get it? Just go to ParamountSports.com and click on purchase picks. It's ready to go.
Lee Sterling, 5 for $55 college football tomorrow, 5 for $55 NFL Sunday. That's the National Football League. If you're having some trouble getting some scratch, get with Lee Sterling at ParamountSports.com.
Robert, 14, Piggy Bank. Piggy Banks have $55 in them, right?
14-4 over the last 2 weekends. Do it, Lee. Let's jump right into this week.
Do it.
Tough week. Let's rebound from last week.
Yep.
The Florida Gators and the Tennessee Volunteers will get together on a Tennessee Saturday night. Vols giving the Gators 15.5. What used to be the premier rivalry in the SEC lost its luster. Tennessee with a shocking upset last week in Arkansas. Are the Gators laying in wait here?
I think they're much improved. I will say that. They are not the team that started the season. Their run defense has all of a sudden improved the last couple weeks, and also Graham Mertz getting some confidence. I know Tennessee's more talented, but they've won just 2 of the last 19 years straight up. Florida won last year. A lot of people forget that, 29-16. They even covered, Florida did, in the 38-33 loss 2 years ago. So I just can't lay it with Tennessee here. They've got some injuries, a wide receiver, defensive line here. They're just not clicking on all cylinders. If I'm going to lay wood here, I got to be having that offense clicking, and it's just not doing it here. Florida has nothing to lose. I think Tennessee wins 32-24, but I'm taking the Gators plus 15.5 points.
Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports. The Red River rivalry. I was fortunate enough to go to this game last year, got to experience the 50-50 crowd for the first time, and what an event that it is with the Texas State Fair right in the background as well. Last year, Dylan Gabriel led the OU team a win over Texas, and Oklahoma is 11-4 in their last 15 games against the Texas Longhorns. A different-looking team this year for Oklahoma. Who do you like in it?
Yeah, you know, last year we've seen some crazy things happen in this series. I mean, I've been to 6 or 7 of these games, and you know, we've seen some blowouts. We've seen some underdogs win easy here, and last year Oklahoma won 34-30 as a 5-point underdog, but they were outgained. They gave up over 500 yards of total offense. Quinn Ewers looked great. I mean, 371 yards passing that game, but two key interceptions, and Oklahoma was +3 in turnover ratio. Oklahoma's going to start a true freshman quarterback, Michael Hawkins. I don't know if you want to have a true freshman starting this game unless they're special here. And he's going to be without five of his top six receivers out with injury. They're just throwing to tight ends and running backs. I just think that Quinn Ewers coming back from injury is going to be ready and focused. He wants to put a little cherry on top of his career in this game with revenge after last year, I think is what we're looking at. And if OU's defense is on the field for 38, 40 minutes, they're in trouble. Texas, 38-14.
How about that? Texas taking down Oklahoma, according to Lee Sterling. The game tomorrow night in the SEC that will kick off after all of the other ones have either finished or get underway, it's Kentucky and Vanderbilt, a game that I feel everybody's overlooking in the Southeastern Conference. That's a Vanderbilt team, Lee, that's trying to back up what they did a week ago with the biggest upset win, the biggest win in program history. They take on the Kentucky Wildcats there in Lexington, and you've got it as Kentucky with 13 and a hook. Your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, they've got nothing to lose, Vanderbilt. I mean, people think all of a sudden they're going to come back to earth. Watch the Missouri game. I thought they were the better team that game. So I'm watching Kentucky, and they're just not a scorer. I mean, they put up 38 points in the last three games here. Both teams have elite pass rush defenses here. And, I mean, Vanderbilt's offense is a tough offense to prepare for. I mean, they run so many different options and blocking schemes here. I think Kentucky wins 27-21, but I think Vanderbilt's the right side.
Number 187, number 188 in the official Nevada rotation in Baton Rouge on a Saturday night, looking to get the magic back down in South Louisiana. And the Johnny Rebs come marching out of North Mississippi down on the bayou. Ole Miss, this line jumped around hard early when it was released. LSU was a two-point favorite. Now Ole Miss favored 3.5. In Tiger Stadium, who you got, Lee?
Yeah, if you look at stats and trends, LSU is to play here. I mean, 4-1-1 against the spread as a home underdog since 2021. So tough at night on Saturday nights, and they're coming off of a bye. So why can't I buy in here to LSU? Can't run the football. Have not run for more than 135 yards in the three games versus Power 5 opponents. They allowed 243 rushing yards to South Carolina. We know right now South Carolina is not a very good team. So, I mean, this is basically an elimination game here.
I agree.
And whoever loses is out. I just think Ole Miss, and I think with Trey Harris, I'm hearing he will play. I think they're just a different level. I think they learned from that loss to Kentucky. I'm going to lay the 3.5 here. Ole Miss, 35-28.
You talk about learning from some tough losses. Kalen DeBoer getting a first taste of Alabama following a loss. Alabama and South Carolina, 11 a.m. on ABC. Alabama currently sits at a 3-touchdown favorite, the over-under at 50.5 points. Lee, are the Crimson Tide bouncing back?
I think there's a good chance they will. I mean, there's a lot of pride on this team. they did beat Georgia, and at one time, they're up 28-0 in that game. The way they came back was impressive. I think they're just facing a team they might have overlooked a little bit, and Vanderbilt played their best game. So take nothing away from them. Now they got to face a South Carolina team. I'm going to make this prediction. Lenoris Sellers, the quarterback for South Carolina, is not playing quarterback next year. I think they move him eventually in the offseason. I think he's going to end up a tight end or maybe a linebacker or some other position. Good athlete, but he's not even completing close to 60% of his passes. Only 2 touchdown passes on the season here. I like Bama, 40-15.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. You heard it there. He just picked Tennessee and Florida, Texas and Oklahoma, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, LSU, and Alabama and South Carolina. Tell them where they can find you, what they can get, and a free play that you've got for them if they call you right now.
Yep, just go to the website, ParamountSports.com. Like I said, 5 for $55. We'll include a 40 to 50 unit major wager, max wager play. So Never done it before. 5 for $55 Saturday, 5 for $55 Sunday. If you've never come on board, now's the time. We're on a run. 15-4 the last 2 weeks. So up and available. Just one place, ParamountSports.com. And game of the week, Missouri and UMass. Another team, that's the next opponent for Auburn. They want to get that game for free. They're traveling to UMass. You want to talk about the worst stadium, one of the worst-looking stadiums. Nothing nice about it. We're going to see if Missouri is still upset and just running through the, you know, running through the emotions and looking ahead, or can they get their mojo back? First five callers to call 800-400-9741, get it for free. So ParamountSports.com or 800-400-9741. Get involved now. Start winning today.
Lee, you are the man. You're the best in the business, and we appreciate you and your time on a Friday afternoon. Have a fantastic weekend. Win some money. Watch some football. We'll have you on again next Friday.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks so much. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Give him a call. He's got a free play for you. He's got all sorts of packages for you to get in on college football, NFL, you name it. He's got it all in one spot, ParamountSports.com. We'll take a break. Come back and continue on here on the Free for All Friday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are wide open today. 334-321-1390. Get on in. We're just underway here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, we appreciate Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Man, what a great way to start the show each and every Friday, guys. I mean, he just jumpstarts our college football conversations. And so, any surprises there, Uncle T-Bone, about what Lee Sterling had to say with his picks around the SEC this weekend?
Yeah, I'm still going back and forth on this LSU-Ole Miss game.
I am too.
A really tough line to pick right there.
What he said about it being an elimination game, I 100% agree.
No question about it. My heart says LSU at home at night. Tiger meat, the magic is back, you name it. It's going to happen down there, especially with Lane Kiffin coming to town. Anything could happen. That is going to be a wild atmosphere, but my head says take the Rebels. I just think that they score points in bunches, and I'm not sure that LSU can stop that.
You bring up a point. Uncle T-Bone, in 2023, it was 55-49. Ole Miss won in Oxford, so LSU trying to return the favor. We haven't seen Lee take it over-under yet. Have we? It's been a true pick.
No,
one
he
way
normally just goes with the spread.
Other.
Yeah,
I feel like there would be more people on the over side of things with that game. I think it's sitting at 60.5 right now, which is crazy in itself.
Right. They offer those things at Paramount Sports, but he normally on our show, he'll normally just pick with the spreads.
I like it.
I'm struggling with this Alabama game too, spread wise. I am with Lee. I don't think South Carolina can score many points. It's not like Alabama's defense is gangbusters. They're terrible. But you do have to wonder, with what happened in Nashville last week, it's an 11 o'clock game. The Tide fans will not fill that stadium up this weekend. And then with Tennessee looming next week, the third Saturday in October, folks, is this a look-ahead moment for Alabama?
You don't think those just dedicated, committed Alabama fans are going to show up at 11 a.m. in the Bryant-Denny Stadium coming off a loss? You don't think they're going to show up in support?
At 11 a.m., those upper decks will both be half full.
Wow.
Robbie Ashford coming to town. I mean, maybe they just want to see.
That doesn't get you in the stands. Anything else will.
Well, they've seen him before up there, and he actually played a pretty decent game
did.
When he was coached by
did.
Carnell and made some pretty good throws and runs in that. Listen, I think South Carolina might can give them a little trouble early in that game. Ball control is key when going up against a superior, talented team like Alabama. Make those playmakers sit on the sidelines. Make Kalen DeBoer. Hopefully he'll have something better on than a wife beater T-shirt this week. I mean, you are a multimillionaire, pal. You can't afford a collared golf shirt at least.
Wow,
but
man.
in. You're in on that, huh?
But get into that. I mean, he looked terrible.
That new golf facility.
He looked like a goofball.
Okay, but if they would have won the game, would anybody have said anything?
No, my gosh. I think everybody was saying stuff the whole game. He looked terrible.
he probably aged
15 years after that loss, too. Welcome to the NFL of college football, buddy. But in that second half, I see Alabama just ripping them up pretty good.
My thing with South Carolina, and we want to get your thoughts on all the games going on around college football this weekend, 334-321-1390. I'm with you. I don't see South Carolina stopping Bama, and I don't think Bama's going to stop South Carolina every time, but they'll do it enough, right? They'll stop them enough. They'll force a couple of turnovers, a couple of bad plays, and Bama is probably going to hang 40 or 45 on South Carolina, and I just don't trust the Gamecocks offense to keep up with that. They may be able to break 30, but
no.
I think Alabama will play well. Here's the problem, though. They only scored 3 against Ole Miss last week. South Carolina did. 3 against Ole Miss's defense.
I believe that was at home as well.
It was. So, I don't know. I have no faith in South Carolina. None.
Yeah, no, I don't either, Jacob. They kind of hit their peak moment of the season, I believe, when they had LSU on the ropes and played one whale of a football game that Saturday morning, Christian, and then just kind of fell apart. Had some bad luck and some bad refereeing in that game, but that's what happens to bad teams. Bad calls get them.
334-321-1390. K-Bag, you're on the line here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Got a couple of minutes, my man. How are you?
Good afternoon. Happy free-for-all Friday. How's everything in the studio? Y'all got the AC on 72 or what?
Oh, we got the windows open in this place, man.
Woo! What a day to be alive and on the plains with no football this weekend. How about that?
Yeah, I don't think it's normal for us to be celebrating that, but it does feel nice, doesn't it?
Well, as Uncle T-Bone knows, it's local circuit fall weekend here with a lot of members floating around in town. What do you think about that, Uncle T?
May your putts be true and your drives be long and straight, Bagger.
I appreciate it. You know, y'all were talking about the South Carolina-Bama game. South Carolina doesn't have a prayer this weekend.
There's no way Alabama loses this game.
Hell no.
Ain't no way Alabama goes up there and stubs their toe and muffs punts and fumbles the ball all over Bryant-Denny Stadium and South Carolina just eases in there kind of like Vandy and ball controls them. Def, ain't no way that's going to happen, K-Bag.
No, Coach. And on top of that, you're right. Then you said the upper deck wouldn't be half full. I don't think it's going to be a third full.
Man. What would happen just for
giggles?
What would happen if somehow, some way, last second field goal, Robbie Ashford, former Auburn quarterback, scrambles like Fran Tarkington back in the late 50s, gets South Carolina down there to about the 28. They Chinese fire drill it out there and basically, like you said in golf, hit a stinger right underneath that cool, crisp fall wind in Bryant-Denny Stadium and win 29-28. What happens then, Bagger?
What happens then is Tammy's up there in heaven, and she is just leading the chorus.
It would be one of the most monumental meltdowns in the history of the world. We appreciate the phone call, K-Bag. Good luck this weekend and your member guest, and good luck to everybody on the local circuit chasing that little white ball.
Thanks so much, K-Bag. Appreciate you, my man. 334-321-1390. We may get ourselves a little golf in this weekend. I think we played golf on the bye weekend a year ago. I mean, it's the few times you actually get to go out and play a little bit. And I think we're going to try and play Sunday because, man, I can't get myself to not watch college football tomorrow. There's way too many good games for me to be out there on the golf course tomorrow.
Well, you know, there's a ton of them. I mean, this is the weekend everybody's been waiting for. You got Texas, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Oregon, LSU, Ole Miss. You know, there's a lot of good football this week, but the focus around town, guys, is still what is Auburn going to do in this off week to kind of turn the corner finally and get ready and get right for the rest of this season. And there's a lot of work to do over there on the plane still. We haven't all three been together since last weekend, but, man, what a disappointing, again, loss to Georgia. 8 years in a row. Can the Tigers take the bye week and get right?
We'll talk about all of that and more. I believe we may have a special guest calling in here at the bottom of the 2 o'clock hour, 334-321-1390. He's jumping around somewhere. Don't know where he is. We'll get him on the phone next, and we'd love to hear from you as well, 334-321-1390.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes in to hour number one here on the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. Uncle T-Boat in the studio, Christian Griffin, voice of the Lee Scott Warriors, with us as well. And we get to the phone lines once again. This guy's on the road, heading out of town. He's taking advantage of his bye week, jumping Jack Hutton with us on the phone lines. How are you, my man? Good to talk to you.
Ha!
What's going on, buddy?
What's happening, guys? Hey, I heard that Uncle T-Bone was doing a radio show without me today. What on earth is that?
You know, they just decided to have me come on in tomorrow morning, too, and get in for a couple of hours just to pontificate on the state of college football while you're out, Jack.
I see. So you're just going to fill in whenever you want to now. Okay.
They gave me the code to get in the front door. And I know where the computers are, so I might as well just come in and start being on air whenever I like. How's that sound?
I hear you. Poke around and see what buttons you can press.
That's right.
Oh, goodness. Well, what's on your mind today, Jack? I know you're driving. You're going to be out of town this weekend with a bye week, so no game day on Wings tomorrow. You won't have a chance to be on the air. So what's on your mind on this Friday?
Well, man, I tell you, I got to get some better friends because how can you get married on a college football Saturday like you got going on tomorrow?
I thought you were talking about us too. I was like, man, that's brutal. But yeah, no, you are Yeah, you're on your way to a wedding, getting married on a Saturday. A wedding that, I mean, look, it's people that I know. I would love to have been there. I had other obligations, unfortunately. But yeah, you got to talk to them about a Saturday October wedding, man. That's illegal in this state.
I know it. Yeah, I mean, Texas, Oklahoma tomorrow, the first time that these two are matching up as SEC squads, that's going to be a really fun one. Heard you guys talk about LSU and Ole Miss as well. I can't remember the exact game this was or the exact year, but Manton Jamarcus Russell playing for LSU all those years ago when LSU, I think, threw a long pass kind of towards the end of the game and completed it. Tried to run up to the line and get a snap off, and they weren't able to do it. That was one that kind of sticks out about that LSU-Ole Miss rivalry. And then, of course, last year, just the shootout that went on between those squads. So that's going to be a fun one, as always, to kind of watch. I'm not so sure that people are really giving LSU I think people are giving LSU a little bit too much credit because I do think Ole Miss will score. I do like Garrett Nussmeier, and Uncle T-Bone knows that. But I think this LSU team has actually got some holes, especially on defense this year.
Are you buying into the LSU at night, Death Valley, weird things happening? Like, are you buying into that playing a huge factor into this game, or is this just going to be another football game between two really good teams?
No, I think it definitely is. Anytime you're going into a really, you know, crass environment like that, it's going to be difficult, especially, I mean, Auburn fans know that well. But, look, Ole Miss comes into this one. I mean, the offense has been very good for Ole Miss outside of that Kentucky game. And really, I would say that Kentucky is actually one of the better defenses that Ole Miss has played this year because I do think the Cats can play some D. We saw that on them against Georgia. And so you know, I really think that this LSU squad, I don't know if they're as good on the defensive side of the ball as Kentucky is. I really don't. And I know that's kind of a big statement there, but, you know, I wonder what LSU's, if they're going to have a little trouble slowing down the offense. I do think that Baton Rouge at night is something to take into account here. But I don't know if that's going to be a huge factor past, you know, the first quarter and a half. I think if Ole Miss comes in and moves the ball effectively, you know, they've impressed me with what they've been able to do on the offensive end, save for that Kentucky game.
Jack, I got caught up so much in the Deep South's oldest rivalry last Saturday. I did not get to see hardly any of Ole Miss at South Carolina. Looking back at some of these stats, though, South Carolina had more first downs in that game than Ole Miss. The Rebels with 425 total yards, 285 passing, and 140 rushing. That's kind of been the bugaboo for Ole Miss all season is the running game. And your man Garrett Nussmeier, they were off last week, I believe. Might be healing up, might be working on something. Those off weeks are huge, especially this time of year. 1,652 yards, 15 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. The junior from Lake Charles, Louisiana, is having one heck of a football season.
Yeah, baby. Garrett Nussmeier is slowly one of my quarterbacks of the year, especially in the SEC. You know, I don't know if I'm going to go all full Bo Nix dark horse for Heisman or anything like that, but I think Garrett Nussmeier has got a lot of pieces on that offensive end. I'm just worried about that defense for them. So I do think that this is going to be another shootout like we had last year. I know I've kind of waffled in this conversation, but I think I like LSU to pull this out in the
wow.
end.
Yeah. Okay. Jack is yeah. not going to go against Nussmeier. He's a believer in him. At home, I'm going to have to double-check my math to see if they were off last weekend. I forgot about that. If they were, waiting right there to pounce down in the bayou, the Bengal Tigers.
Hey, Jack, one more game before we get you out of here. It's not in the SEC, but it's the biggest game of college football tomorrow. Number 2 Ohio State at number 3 Oregon in Eugene. First time they've matched up as Big Ten opponents. Who do you got?
Guys, the Ducks are playing good football, and Dan Lanning is a heck of a coach up there. You know, I think Ohio State has always got the dudes to do it. Jeremiah Smith has been a problem this year. I mean, he's slowly been probably one of the better receivers in the country, right next to Ryan Williams from Alabama, and they're both freshmen.
How old are they?
I think a lot of Auburn fans were hoping that their freshman wide receivers were doing what those guys are doing. Look, I think Ohio State can stay in this. I think their defensive line plays really well with JT Tuimalolo. I hope I said that right. But I like Oregon, especially in that stadium. I like the offensive strategy that they employ. And then Dan Lanning, always a defensive coach. I think he does just enough. I think the Ducks get out of here with an upset.
How about that? Oregon taking out Ohio State, according to Jumpin' Jack Gunn. Hey, man, safe travels on the way to Beeham. And tell those newlyweds congratulations. And we look forward to seeing you coming back next week. I hate you're not going to be with me tonight on the broadcast, but, you know, you had other important things to do.
Well, hey, I heard that you guys were going to chase around a little white ball on Sunday, so maybe I get back in time to do that with you if you'll have me out.
If I'm a betting man, I say you wouldn't make it back, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
All right, guys. Well, sounds good. I'm hoping to prove you wrong Sunday.
Thanks so much, man. Jack Cutton joining us on the phone lines. Always appreciate him calling in. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are wide open on this Friday afternoon. You can shoot us a text as well, 334-784-1067. And I want to ask you guys about that Oregon-Ohio State game because everybody seems to be in the mindset. Everybody I've talked to anyway, they're like, nah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Winner's fine. Loser's fine. This isn't an elimination game like it may have been in the past. And is this one of the first situations and the first scenarios where the expanded college football playoff has devalued a game like this a little bit?
I will say that it's the second behind Alabama and Georgia a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Fair.
I would say that is the very first one where both fan bases, although you definitely want to win the football game, especially with Georgia and how they looked in the second half, made it to where there were some teams or some people saying out there that they were more impressed with Georgia and how their ability
I think they're still the better team.
To respond. And I believe if they had it
– well, so do the AP top 25 voters.
I was about to say the same thing. And if they played on a neutral side, I think they'd have Georgia by – I think it was 3.5 – last week where they had the Bulldogs coming out and winning. I would say this is the second time where you're looking at it to where you expect these two teams to make their way into the playoff unless something crazy happens in the back half of the season, especially if Ohio State goes and, as Jack is predicting, loses a close game on the road. I don't think that hurts them necessarily as much as it used to.
And I got to see what happens the rest of the year before I'm just going to write off any loss as, oh, it's okay, we're still going to make the college football playoffs midway through the season. Ohio State's had a massive Michigan problem, despite the Wolverines not being as good this year over the last few years. I have heard several people say in the SEC, especially, that saying Alabama has two losses, they're going to get in, no problem. I'm not so certain about that any longer. You've got to wonder, what if they were to stumble against South Carolina and then get it together and win the rest of the games this year? They're not going to the SEC championship game, and their losses were to Vandy and South Carolina. There's a lot of data left to collect before I'm willing to say any game's devalued. And anybody who says, oh, we're good, we only have one loss early in the season, they're delusional. And they're taking a real risk of them getting very upset when their team loses again and they don't make the college football playoffs.
I do think a game like this, being in the middle of the season, helps out both teams, especially the loser. If this were to be week 11 or week 12 in such a big game where you're looking at it where, yeah, they started 9-0 and then went 1-2 in their final three games, I think that changes a lot of things rather than you start 6-1, then you get on a hot streak again and you could possibly lose another game or possibly lose the conference championship. So the timing of both of these games play a big impact as well.
Well, that goes back to even the late BCS days and then the decade that we had the four-team college playoff, right? I mean, Auburn fell into that category several times of, oh, team started slow, got hot late, had everything in front of them, seemed to be the better formula rather than start fast and then fizzle out down the stretch, because the recency bias, right? I mean, that's something that is a real thing in this new college football playoff era. And of course, BCS was based off computers and numbers, but the playoff era is by a group of people that we may or may not know that sit in a room behind themselves and don't have to explain themselves and don't have to defend anything that they do. And so recency bias is a real thing.
Yeah, no question about it. Not only do they really don't ever come out with an explanation, there's very little transparency in their discussions. Their notes are never published. I think that is ridiculous. And then they get the benefit of getting total cover from ESPN and the mainstream media as well, that their decisions almost always are the right decisions, especially if the people on ESPN have a massive bias of who got in for teams that they pull for. Kirk Herbstreit.
Or ESPN just having a bias on who brings in the most money on a playoff game. That's why I've said Alabama will get in with three losses if they do it the right way.
I don't see that.
If they do it the right way, how do they leave them out? Especially if chaos continues to ensue around college football where everybody's beating everybody. There is no upper echelon of college football. Tell me how they're going to make these decisions. We're going to be right back to where we were a year ago.
Especially if that third loss is possibly in the SEC championship against a team they beat in the regular season.
If that's how it plays out, you're absolutely right.
I mean, I'd have to think that if a three-loss team gets in out of a major conference, there were very few two-loss teams and one-loss or undefeated teams left, and there's just a tremendous amount of chaos. In this first year, if they go back to the well and ESPN jumps up and down and takes complete bias again on a three-loss Alabama team, and this is a tremendous amount of what-if here on a free-for-all Friday, but I guess we somehow, some way, then you're going to see college football fans across the country revolt.
Playing just devil's advocate, not saying I disagree or agree with anything, but if you have three SEC teams make the college football playoff, you're assuming that one of the conferences has a weaker team where possibly only the conference championship winner gets in. Or if it's the ACC, it's Miami, who would that second team be that you would quote-unquote take to beat Alabama?
Well, I'll say this, too, that anything is possible when it comes to
Kevin Garnett said that, didn't he?
When it comes to the politicking of college football, we've seen very odd decisions over the years be made behind closed doors. And whether or not people still want to admit it, yes, it's a better system with 12 teams in the playoffs. But ultimately, just for a few teams that win their championship in their conference and get in, it's still a beauty pageant. And I have never, and I said this on Monday, Jacob, seen this many teams in the top 25 at this point of the season. And some of them that are still receiving votes have the possibility of actually making it into a college football playoff. It's both exciting and it's also it's interesting to see how this is all going to play out. This first year and next, I imagine, being a massive litmus test for the future of college football playoffs. Will there be controversy? Of course, but there are a lot of really good teams in the top 25. Parity is here, and that's going to make it a little bit more difficult for one of the Blue Bloods with three losses to sneak in with ESPN's, push to do so.
Narrative. That's the word.
There you go.
Narrative. And as we get to break, that's the point I want to make, is until the playoff committee, which is in conjunction with ESPN, until they prove to me that they're not focused on money and matchups and television ratings, I'm not going to have trust in them. I'm not going to have faith in them to do the right thing because they have a narrative that they proved to us a year ago. And the only way to fix that is one that we've talked about quite often on this program in particular. It's the NFL model. Everybody's right. In pods. There is a math formula. You win, you're in. You lose, you're out. That's how it works in the NFL. There's no committee that sits around and watches games and writes on whiteboards and has fancy dinners with each other to talk about games. They don't do that because it's absurd when you think about it.
It really is absurd, especially when schools, and I'll give them credit, somehow, some way, park an employee who used to be a former coach in the absolute mainstream vision of it on ESPN. You can't tell me with someone like that there that there's going to be influence not bantied around when needed. And I know we're up against a break, but I'll say this. If you trust Charlie Baker and you trust the NCAA at all, Lonnie from Lochapoca has some oceanfront property out on Highway 14 for sale real cheap. And from Highway 14, you can see the sea.
Wait until week 14 when everything comes to fruition. And we're having an Army-Navy game where both teams are sitting at 5-0 right now. This could be a decider for a playoff game.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
How awesome would that be, and how crazy would that be as well? Oh, my gosh.
Army-Navy for a playoff spot. Oh, my gosh.
That sentence has never been spoken in the history of the English language. 334-321-1390. Man, that thought threw me off so bad I couldn't get the phone number out. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open on this free-for-all Friday. We wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Full house here today, and we appreciate you spending your Friday afternoon with us. And Christian, we got some Friday night high school football going on tonight. Both of us are in town. Both of us are at home. You having Lee Scott, myself having Auburn High.
You did. And before, you mentioned full house, full belly as well. Want to give a major shout out to Acre in Auburn for taking care of us as well as they did. Oh my gosh, had the entire menu thrown at us essentially, and it was absolutely amazing. Still trying to recover and find the energy to come on and do the show, because the way that they take care of us is absolutely amazing. But yes, Lee Scott taking on the Wadley Bulldogs tonight in a bit of a skit. I talked about it in the preview. It is the first time since 2020 that Lee Scott is coming off back-to-back losses. Granted, there was the bye week sandwiched in between, but back-to-back contests where you lose, looking to avoid the third straight, and the road does not get any easier. The undefeated, the number one team in 1A, the Wadley Bulldogs, with, I'm told, a 6'5 running back in 1A, which you don't see very often, but they said that Coach Daniels said that they went back to a hard-nosed week of practice. It was, they got out there on Monday, they said, we're not watching film yet, we're not doing anything, we're scrimmaging. And we're not doing this touch and go, we are bringing guys to the ground, we're going to learn how to tackle, and we're going to go back to being the most physical team on the football field. And we'll find out in about 4.5 hours if that will be the case.
Yeah, you guys will be on the air over on AU100. That's 100.3 FM and AU100FM.com. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 for you on the Lee Scott Sports Network.
By myself tonight as well.
Yeah,
No Red Chrome. So
take it easy on them out there, Warrior fans.
Just call in. You can be a live color commentator.
Yeah, good luck, man. Yeah, however you want to do that, by all means, go for it. Over on Wings 94.3, we will be live on the Auburn High Sports Network as the Tigers are now the number one team in the state of Alabama. That's right, number one team taking down Central a week ago. We are playing for the first time with the number one next to our name, and we welcome in the Panthers of Smith Station, who are struggling, I think, to say the least. They're winless. They are still searching for that first win, being outscored a lot to a little, and not that that means a whole lot, right, Christian?
Nope.
So Auburn back home at Doug Sanford Stadium.
Low blow.
Yeah, sorry, that was bad. Auburn back home at Doug Sanford Stadium, again, taking on Smith Station. The Panthers coming to town. Rob Pate and I will be on the air. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 on Wings 94.3. Jack Cutton, again, decided to have more important things to do, so he dipped out on
That's fine.
Yeah. You know, could have helped you, could have helped me, could have helped anybody, but he decided to be for himself, and that's okay.
We had a Columbus tea time planned and everything, and just had to throw it away for the power of friendship.
Whatever. It's stupid. Lame. So, yes, Rob Pate and I are on the air tonight. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7, Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, or you can download the Radio Alabama app, and you can bounce back and forth between Auburn High and Lee Scott.
And there's some history looking to be made possibly tonight at the Duck, isn't there? Something with... No? Okay.
I don't know. Maybe. What history are you talking about?
Isn't there rushing touchdowns or something you were talking about? I thought you were trying not to say anything. I thought I was going down something you didn't want me to go down, so I was trying to cut myself off. But.
No, we don't have to put it in the air. That's okay. No, that's fine. Yeah. We'll talk about it on the broadcast tonight.
That'll work.
Possibly, yes, records could be broken at Duck Sanford Stadium. But all we do know is hour number two is coming up, so don't you dare turn that radio dial.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you missed a doozy. I'll tell you what, we had a lot of fun in that first hour. We started the show with Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com, gave us his best bets for college football this weekend. They've got a big, big thing going for you right now at ParamountSports.com. If you want to get in on that, you can get in 5 picks for $55 there at Paramount Sports, and they are rocking and rolling this college football season, so go check them out. So we talked to him to start hour number one, and we also talked a lot of just the big games around college football this weekend. We'll make our official picks here in hour number two because we'll get to our SEC football challenge in a little bit, but all of that was in the first hour, so if you missed it, go check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, want to talk a little Auburn football since it is the bye week, right? What can we expect? What should we expect? Or what are we going to see? I don't know. We're going to find out and going into next week for Auburn. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Here in hour number two, we'll make some picks around college football here in this second hour. And we want to hear from you. The phone lines are open. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334 334- 321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the On the Line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. And before we get into content, I want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the 3 to 4 o'clock hour each and every day here on ESPN. Well, gentlemen, we have a lot to get to in this second hour, but I do want to talk a little Auburn because it's a different style of week that has been on the show because it's a bye week, right? There's no game to discuss. There's no storylines to talk about. There's no predictions to be made. But Uncle T-Bone, there's some things you want to see coming out of the bye week this week and into next week as Auburn will be back on the road at Missouri. So what are you looking for in terms of what this bye week could be for Auburn?
One thing that needs to stop pronto with what's happening in the Auburn football program is the coach going out and saying stuff publicly about what the quarterback is doing and the quarterback coming back out and saying stuff that and defending himself, saying he is not doing stuff that the coach is saying he's doing. This kind of finger pointing that has begun. It looks like to me going into this off week post Georgia that there's some trust issues right there between the quarterback and the head coach. That has to stop now. I don't know what they're going to have to do. I don't know if it's gotten personal. I don't know where Peyton Thorne's going to be a year from now. But in my opinion, they need to stabilize their relationship, and Auburn needs to start focusing on leaning offensively on its best playmaker, Jarquez Hunter. And Auburn needs to come out against Missouri with a full commitment to being a run-first team and establish that ground attack against the Tigers, get a W doing so, and move forward with that the rest of the year. And I think that that'll solve a lot of the issues on that Auburn offense.
Something that we talked about, exactly what you were talking about, Uncle T-Bone, was regardless of who was right and who was wrong in a situation – going back to the 4th-and-1, which I'm guessing is the biggest thing you're talking about, where it doesn't matter who did what or said what, the fact that they're not on the same page is more concerning than any results on the field. And so
I said, Christian, on Doug's show today.
Yeah.
I was a guest over there on the Max Roundtable, and I said, is Hugh Freeze wrong or right? Is Peyton Thorne wrong or right? They're both wrong.
They're both wrong.
Yeah. Get on the same page.
It's about as simple as it gets. That's all that it needs to be. And I think the biggest thing, which I guess is more so just piggybacking off of what you were going to say, something that we talked about at lunch, Jacob, is for this roster to feel what it's like to win.
Yeah.
Get the hunger to have a preparation week knowing we're going to go out and we're going to win a game on Saturday. Then you're going to finally feel the feeling of that win and be able to repeat it moving down the further down the season.
And I think that carries a lot more weight than people realize. I mean, for those of us that have played in sports growing up and had a chance to play at the next level, not me, but I'm just saying for a lot of these people that have played high level competition sports, I mean, man, losing sucks. Losing hurts. Losing will demoralize you week after week after week. And in the SEC or any Power Four college football, you have to know and learn how to beat another team and how to play for four quarters and how to make the right mental decisions and the right physical decisions and just make the play that it takes to win. And look at this Auburn team right now as a whole. They're 2-4. The only two teams they've beaten, they beat badly because they were so bad that it could have taken Auburn High School to beat those teams. And the other four that they went up against, they found ways to lose. That's the issue here. Auburn had a chance in all four games, guys. They just found ways to lose rather than finding ways to win. But I firmly believe that with this roster, with this talent and this coaching staff, I think once they taste victory against a quality opponent, because people aren't stupid, kids aren't dumb, like they don't look at a win over Alabama A&M and think they're going to win the national title. Like, they don't carry that from game to game. But you go to beat Missouri next week, you carry that into Kentucky. You beat Kentucky, you carry that into Vanderbilt, into A&M, and it just kind of continues. And you build the confidence, you build the rapport, and ultimately, you build skill, and you build yourself into a legitimate football team. And Auburn is still trying to find a way to do that. It sounds cliche, and it sounds really stupid, but when you're 2-4 and you're sitting in your bye week thinking, man, we could be 5-1, that's where you have to go. You got to go to the core, man. You got to go deep down and figure out what your problems are. And Auburn has a problem trying to win games right now.
Last year, there was only one bye week. That happened after the heartbreaking loss against Brock Bowers in Georgia inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, 27-20. The Tigers go on bye week and then go down to on October 14th of 2023 to LSU.
Oh, gosh.
A quality opponent. And absolutely no show that game, 48-18. That cannot happen again.
That game was over before it started.
It really was. It was over after the first drive.
Yep.
And this can't happen again. But, you know, the fear is with Coach Freeze, a lot of these things that have happened in the past continue to happen. These inexplicable losses during a season against a very inferior opponent, the sporadic quarterback play at times, his offense gaining all kinds of yards and looking like world beaters one week, and then the next week just can't even do anything. I believe that there just needs to be a fundamental gut check, look in the mirror for that offensive staff and Coach Freeze. And just stop trying to worry about the future and who you have coming in or who you're hoping to get come in. And just take it week by week like any coach should do and just stack up with one win and another. And the best way to do it, in my humble opinion, is to completely pivot from this pass-heavy offense and start running the rock old-school Auburn style.
I mean, we saw it against Georgia. I mean, Jarquez Hunter only touched the ball 13 times or had 13 carries for 90 yards. That should be point A of your offense. That should be what rolls the rock, what gets you going. And then every once in a while, then you throw that wrinkle of, oh, yeah, we still have these guys. But don't make it to where you're relying on so many other guys to do something that they haven't necessarily done all year or proven that they can continuously do. Number 27 is the best back in the SEC. I think he's pretty polished on everything that he's trying to do. I wanted to ask y'all before we hit the break here in just a couple minutes, where would you, if you were a teacher, what would you rate the offense, the defense, and the special teams through the first half of the season on an A, B, C, D with pluses and minuses? Where would you rank Auburn on the three levels?
Is this based just off of just pure performance and
if
outcome?
You are taking a result or the win-loss out of everything.
The defense, I would give a B. I think I'd give them a B, maybe even a B plus on the defense. I mean, what have they not done? Through the six games, they've done exactly what I said they were going to do preseason. They were going to play good enough to keep this team in games. They've done that, have they not? I think the defense has done their job. Give them a B or a B plus. It hasn't been A plus. They haven't forced a ton of turnovers. They haven't gotten stops. They can't get off the field on third down. But at the end of the day, on the scoreboard, I think they've done their job through six games. So I'll say the defense gets a B for me, Uncle T-Bone.
Well, I grew up in Auburn City Schools and grew up with some pretty ruthless teachers. But you know what? They only tried to make you better. I'll give the defense a B minus. They would get a B plus, tracking towards an A, except for the fact that they cannot get off the field on third down, and they have not created enough turnovers for a struggling offense. But I'll give them a B minus. Been some injuries over there, a lot of young guys. I like DJ Durkin. They did enough in the game for us to beat California, Arkansas, and Oklahoma
and they got zero help from the offense.
Well, that's the biggest thing, too, is it's not just the fact of if you're looking at a box score and you saw that they gave up X amount of points, it's the fact of, yeah, well, they're playing 75% of the snaps in the second half following back-to-back three and outs where eventually, yeah, a team is going to score on you if they get 15 minutes of the last 18 minutes time of possession. Special teams. We'll leave the offense for last, but special teams. Where would you rank this at?
Oh, gosh. And you have to remember, special teams is punt return, kick return, yes, and field goals.
Everything.
C-.
Oh, I think that's
C-.
If that, Oscar Chapman must be holding up that.
Oscar Chapman is holding that. There's a bell curve to this, and he is the only reason we're passing this class right now. I'll give him a C- generously.
They got a D from A, man.
D's get degrees. Not on this team.
I was about to say, not here. They talk about you're not good enough to
make
mistakes.
They get you 2-4,
win.
Too.
It's about what it does. Okay, offense. And we could talk about this forever, go into each position group. But as a whole, if you're not looking at 2-4, and obviously the trend is going up a little bit.
Yeah.
But through the bye week, through and through, what is the offense's grade?
T-Bone?
I'm going to give him a D.
A D.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a C minus, and that's being just so I want them out of my class and I don't have to see them next year. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, let's look at these scores against, you know, quality opponents this season. They managed 14 points against California, and I know what you're all saying, but Uncle T-Bone, they get a bunch of yards. Doesn't matter. 14 points against Cal, 14 points against Arkansas, 21 points against Oklahoma, 13 points against Georgia. That's not even close to getting it done in high-level college football. D. And they don't run the ball enough, and I'm tired of it.
I'd give them a D also. I really do. I mean, you have to be results-oriented in all sports, yes. And look, I get Hugh Freeze's messages. He understands that college football is results oriented, but he wants his guys to know that they're more than that. Well, guess what? On Saturday afternoons when the ball kicks off at 2:30, you're not. You're not more than that. Not in the game itself.
Too many drop passes still. Weird routes being run. Everyone's not on the same page.
You're judged off how have you performed.
I mean, I hate it, but it's just the truth, and the truth is the truth.
And I'll say this to that whole narrative, okay, using the school aspect, you bring home a D on a report card. I did it once. My mom was extremely mad, but she still loved me, and we moved on. But you learn from it, and you have to get better. You can't constantly bring home a D after D after D. You've got to find a way to improve, and the offense through six games isn't doing that.
We're talking about results on the field. Isn't that exactly what NIL is? That's all college football is, right? It's just based off of results.
Guys, last year, Auburn's best win under Hugh Freeze, in my opinion, was at Arkansas, though they were dead in the water and we blasted them out of the water. But in that game, the Tigers made a commitment to run the ball on the road. 517 total yards, 354 of those were rushing yards. Auburn wins 48-10 in dominating fashion.
How many times did Peyton run that game?
How many times did he run against Georgia, against Alabama? They're not playing to his strengths. He is an athlete. He is not a prototypical pocket passer. Get him moving around and give him the option, if you are going to RPO truly, to actually scramble or pass with some rollouts and some easier throws. And I just don't understand why it just seems so obvious to me as a layperson, as a fan. I hear Granny in the stands screaming, run the ball, Hugh! Run it! Run the dang football, man!
Peyton Thorne had 12 carries for 88 yards against Arkansas. Jarquez Hunter had 16 for 109, so speaks for itself, man. Speaks
Guys, I'm just going to tell you, and I'm from the old school, and old school Auburn and the Auburn identity, even in today's college football, can still work. You just got to do it a little differently. Run the ball and play defense.
There you go.
And if the Tigers would get that, we lost that identity 10 years ago, it seems like, and we've struggled to get it ever since. Run the ball, man. I don't know how else to put it. Dunk somebody's head in the water continuously. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, until they come up for air and say, I'm going to run the ball, coach.
It's an easy game, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's super easy, man. Super
Uncle
easy.
T-Bone, the offensive coordinator.
Boom. Make it happen.
I would have, coming out of this bye week, about 15 run plays, full-blown RRO, run-only option with multiple tight end sets, and I'd start that first half, and we would be running those things till dark every day over there on the practice field until people knew it in their brain and were imprinted with it. This is, I'm going to get 3.5 yards on every carry.
It's like the, remember the Titans, you fumble the ball, you run a mile.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Just keep on running.
Keep on running. 334-321-1390. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you on this Friday afternoon here on ESPN 106.7. Back after this, lots more to get to on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Friday edition of On the Line. And, gentlemen, we weren't supposed to get fired up today. There's no game tomorrow. We're not allowed to be upset. We're not allowed to be fired up, T-Bone. We're not allowed to feel this way on a bye week.
Well, it's been a tough season, man. No one expected Auburn to be 2-4 around these parts.
Think about that, man. Going into the season. We were talking preseason. Auburn's 5-1. They're going into the bye week.
Like, Oklahoma's going to come to town. We'll be 5-0.
Welcome to the SEC.
I think K-Bag was big on that. Oh, we'll kill Oklahoma. And, you know, to his defense, we should have. We're up by 11.
At least should have won.
8 to 9 minutes left in the game. Just get a first down off a big run. You're on the OU 33 with an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter.
I told you. That drive lasted a minute and 5 seconds.
And then you go to throwing the ball, and you two incomplete passes. That's just handing Brent Venables and the Sooners two timeouts. Why in the world does this coaching staff continue to make it harder than it really is?
They continue to overthink. That's what it is. I'm convinced. Until somebody can tell me something different and convince me that it's not what I think it is. Auburn is overthinking it. They're trying to outsmart the other team rather than saying, here are our strengths, here are our weaknesses, let's go toe-to-toe, and let's see how this thing plays out.
And how many times has that turned into Auburn not, or the other team not beating Auburn, but Auburn losing a football game?
Out of the four losses, Auburn beat themselves three of them. Three of them. Auburn's 5-1. This should be a 5-1 football team, and we're talking about Auburn the same way we're talking about Oklahoma, talking about Alabama, talking about Texas A&M, a one-loss SEC team with everything in front of them. Now we're talking about, and we got fans calling for Hugh Freeze to get fired.
Well, that's ridiculous, but I will say this. In today's college football world, if you get a quarterback who's on the same page with their head coach and offensive coordinator, and you just get a few weapons around them, and you get a game plan up that you know if it's executed, it's at least going to give you a chance to win, and you execute it, you're going to beat better, more talented football teams. Vanderbilt did this to a T last weekend, folks. But I went back and watched some of that California game because I watched a lot of that Cal-Miami game, and I thought I saw something in that game that was very disturbing to me for California, and really how it pertains to Auburn. And I watched a lot of the Cal-Auburn game again, and they were in two-deep safety. Two-deep safety the entire game, it felt like. Mm-hmm. They were not going to let Auburn and their hot shot wide receivers go over the top.
Who haven't done
they're much. They're 25 yards off the line.
Yeah.
Run the ball. Run the ball, Hugh. Run the ball. Run the ball. Run the ball. Run the ball. Run the ball.
But why? Why will they not?
You know, and you continue to not only throw the ball in that game, but throw it into the safeties. And then everybody's wondering why is Peyton Thorne throwing so many interceptions? Well, A, he's rattled and not playing very well, and B, you keep putting him in a position with your scheme to where he's going to throw into traffic. I mean, it just kind of seems common sense to me, man. Give it a shot at least. Prove Uncle T wrong. We just can't line up and run the ball against Missouri. Did you see what Texas A&M did to them last weekend?
Put them on blast.
Boston College and their athletic quarterback should have got them. Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia, y'all remember him, Auburn fans, should have got them, but didn't. They survived those by the skin of their teeth. And then they roll into Kyle Field and just get master blasted out of College Station, South Texas. Physical team, played defense, ran the ball well. Sound familiar?
In terms of the rest of the season for Auburn football, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network was on the show yesterday, and he said something that I resonated with really well. He said, look around college football. Everybody's beating everybody. One singular week, take out any week in the first few of this college football season, it tells you nothing about how all the other weeks have played out, right? I mean, just what you talked about, right, Uncle T? With Missouri scraping by and then losing. Bama beating Georgia, then losing to Vanderbilt. I mean, look around the sport of college football. No singular week tells us how the rest of the season's going to play out. And so what I mean by that, and what he meant by it, is Auburn can go and beat Missouri next week. And then you can build on that. Doesn't mean you're going to turn around and beat Kentucky, but it means you at least did something right that week. I mean, the chaos around this season, Christian, has been unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen anything like it with every single game and every single week being so, what's the word I'm looking for, just so isolated and has no impact on the rest of the season.
No, and it's chaotic. We talked about it before coming on to the show today, how last week was quote-unquote the weakest slate of the year. And what happens? Vanderbilt beats Alabama. Arkansas beats Tennessee. What's going to happen this week? And what could be, or what is setting up to be, the greatest week so far of college football? Every single week, there's something that's just absolutely crazy that just goes on. And it's more times than not a game that we don't talk about or a game that we don't necessarily highlight. I mean, if you're looking at a couple games this week, I mean, what if Stanford beats Notre Dame? Or what if USC and Penn State, like, I mean, just so many crazy games that happen every single week.
Well, you said it. Every week is just a roller coaster. And last week on Friday, heading into Saturday, everybody in this studio thought Tennessee might be one of the better teams in the entire country.
Yeah.
And they messed around and found out. And that's what it's all about in college football right now. But if you take a look at the rest of Auburn's schedule, if they can get it together and play like they did for the majority of the Oklahoma game, minus the red zone snafus, they can beat every team left on their schedule, and I believe that.
I'd like to make one quick comment really fast. The over-under for Vanderbilt football, remember that, was sitting at 2.5.
That's a winner chicken.
And everybody hated on me for betting the house on the over.
I didn't hate on you, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. You didn't have them getting it over Alabama,
don't
though.
Matter how. Doesn't matter how. Sitting at 3-2, baby.
We got
easy money.
We got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line. We're making picks for this weekend's college football games coming up next.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goetz, Uncle T-Bone in the studio, Christian Griffin in the studio as well. And it's a little bit later than we normally do it, but the show's a little bit different with no Auburn football this weekend. But I do want to get to our SEC football challenge. Time to make picks around the SEC with some really, really good games this weekend. If you have not been a part of our SEC football challenge, there's still time for you to get in, okay? ESPNAU.com. There are weekly winners thanks to University Ace Hardware, Johnny Brusco's New York Style Pizza, and the Orthopedic Clinic, and then a grand prize winner at the very end for the best picker of the season. And you look around this weekend, guys, there's a lot of good games in the SEC. We'll talk about some of those outside the SEC as well, but let's go ahead and get things started. Why in the world? I've asked this question all week long. Why is Missouri heading to UMass this weekend? Why are they playing at 11 a.m. in Massachusetts on the road for absolutely no reason?
I have no idea. I can't answer.
I haven't found
that.
One. I have not found an explanation.
Probably because they're a lower tiered program historically. I mean, if Auburn ever plays at UMass,
you going to go?
I'll probably go. But I would be, the only thing that'd make that worse if we went to UMass and played on a Wednesday night. I mean, you talk about a...
Auburn's made some cool road trips, though, like that Kansas State Thursday night game.
Well, that's
that
a good,
year.
High-quality program.
Yeah.
This is UMass. They're horrible. They're putrid.
Lee Sterling's had some of the worst facilities he's ever seen.
I'd like to see that campus, though. I've heard it is pretty. Missouri giving up about 27 points. They'll have that covered by the end of the first half, don't you think?
Yeah, I got Missouri big. Big bounce-back win. I'll take Missouri. Christian, I assume you have Missouri in this game.
I do. I'm here looking at the facilities right now. At least the Google ones aren't looking anything too bad. But, okay. No, I will take Brady Cook, Luther Burton in that run game to wish that the Minutemen only played for 1 minute.
I'll say this. That
was bad. Sorry.
If Auburn can't get it, that's brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll see myself.
Thanks,
out.
Dad. Nice dad joke. If Auburn can't get it together next week and take advantage of this situation, Missouri travels to Texas A&M, gets blistered. They go to a weird road trip in a hard place to kind of get to, University of Massachusetts, and they got to travel all the way back and get ready for an 11 o'clock kickoff. And we've already seen what these 11 o'clock kickoffs can be like. In Tuscaloosa right now, you can get tickets as low as $27 the day before the game, 11 o'clock kickoff against South Carolina, and that will plummet. That market will plummet in the morning. So if Auburn can't take advantage of this Missouri situation, this season's through.
For some reason, Missouri just likes making weird road trips. This is the first since 2019 that they've made against a non-power conference school where they went to Wyoming. And then before that, they played UConn in 2017 in a midweek. So a weird schedule. They said that this game was signed between the two schools November of 2018.
Because nobody wants to go to Como.
I mean, is Missouri having to get paid for these road trips like Alabama A&M just to keep their football program afloat?
They're paying so much to old Drinkwitz that, yeah, they're having to go bake money on play.
Speaking
other
of him, guys, by the way, I got to bring this up because I got a bone to pick with some Auburn folks that were texting me and have been texting me, Christian, all football season long. We could Eli Drinkwitz, a Gus Malzahn protege. We could have hired him. Let's take the jet up there and go get him and bring him back, Uncle T-Bone. And then they just get murdered on Kyle Field last weekend. And I send a text back and be like, "You still want Eli? Crickets." Cricket. I mean, why is it that Auburn fans, like, instantaneously once they hire a coach in football, like a week later, are looking to get the next big thing?
Look elsewhere. And I think it just shows the lack of winning and the lack of success that they've had, to where it feels like it's almost a coping thing where you're sitting there, all right, well, we already have to start mentally preparing for this to go downhill. Let's go ahead and start looking elsewhere.
11 o'clock tomorrow, Christian Griffin. We've talked about it. The Gamecocks at Alabama. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports loves the Tide big. I'm kind of with him here. I think this game might be a little bit closer in the first half, and then the Tide wakes up and rolls late. Ryan Williams goes off. But South Carolina can do one thing that Alabama refuses to do like Auburn, and that's stop the run.
It stopped the run and then running the football on offense, especially with Lenora Sellers not being 100%. Robbie Ashford's played a lot of meaningful snaps, and you know that if he's in the football game, they're going to prioritize running the football. I like Alabama on this one as well. I agree with you. I think it could be a little bit closer in the beginning with both teams getting off to slower starts, but Alabama running away.
How
with
uncomfortable
it.
Will Alabama fans be if it's like midway through the second quarter and South Carolina's up 10-7?
I was going to say a 10-7 or a 13-10 game at halftime. With South Carolina getting the football to start the third quarter.
Oh, my gosh. They'll be hitting that beer stand hard and heavy.
Not in the upper deck, you said, right?
Well, you can probably get in there tomorrow for $7. Texas and Oklahoma, the Red River rivalry. Jacob Goins, 2:30 on ABC. That's in the Cotton Bowl. Unlike Alabama, those tickets are going for as low as $315.
Golly, it is on the bucket list for me to make that trip, Christian. I know you got to do that last year, and we were trying to make it work this year. Just didn't fall into the plans. It's a game I want to go to because it's so unique, because it is truly 50-50.
It is.
Right?
It is.
It's a conference.
Half the stadium is going crazy. The other half is silent just about every
single
play.
It's a conference game, but it's in the middle of the year. Neutral site, Red River rivalry. And look, I'm with Lee Sterling. Don't overthink it. Texas is going to roll, guys. I think it's close for the first half. Oklahoma showed us against Auburn. They showed us in Jordan-Hare. They don't have the horses, man.
They don't.
Everybody's injured. Even when they're not, they don't have the horses. I don't think Oklahoma can keep up with Texas's offense. I know that the Longhorns, you know, in their last couple of games have not been overly impressive, Mississippi State in particular, but nah, give me
Quinn Ewers. Sorry, that was without Quinn Ewers too. So,
and it's officially he's starting this weekend?
Yeah, he is back.
Texas by a million. Da 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 da. Texas by a million.
I think it could start off being a close game since Oklahoma wants to rely on that defense.
Yeah, if they get the ball first.
But
you know, Oklahoma's given Texas some fits over the years. I believe they got them last year
as well.
Yeah. But I'm with you guys. I just don't think that Oklahoma quite has the horses. If Auburn can get up on you by 11 going into the fourth quarter and about ready to put you out of your misery, you know Steve Sarkisian and the number one ranked Longhorns can do the same. Christian, Mississippi State travels to Georgia, back-to-back home game for the Dogs in the SEC with the two worst teams in the SEC, Auburn and Mississippi State. And, boy, that's painful to say. Dogs giving up 34.5 to the Bullpups. Any chance Mississippi State can cover this?
What was the line? What'd you say?
It's
was
right that? Around 34.5.
God.
Well, I have it. Okay. Well, I have it on my SEC challenge 49-13. So I guess my official statement is
yes.
No, they will. Or Georgia will cover, yes, if that was the question asked. So, yes, the Bulldogs of Georgia will cover the
basic
Bulldogs.
Math.
It is. It's a little bit hard. We're journalism majors.
Yeah, we're journalism majors, man. We don't do that. I have Georgia 48-10. I got Georgia rolling, covering, doing whatever they got to do. Georgia will look good. Georgia will win. Average score prediction on the SEC football challenge on ESPNAU.com is 39-13 is the average score prediction right now.
Yeah, that sounds about right. There are three really good games tomorrow night in the SEC. That's going to be I know where I'll be come about 6 o'clock tomorrow night out on that back porch watching multiple football games. We'll go with the first one, 6 p.m. on ESPN, the Florida Gators at number 8, Tennessee. Vols giving up about 15.5, 14.5 bouncing around. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, he likes the Gators, and I kind of like them there in the points too. The last 6 quarters, Tennessee's offense has sputtered, folks.
It's just I just don't know, man. I don't know. Look, Tennessee should win this game, right? Tennessee's supposed to win. They're supposed to win big.
Allegedly.
Florida's terrible. And Tennessee is still a good football team, even though they lost to Arkansas. Because I think Arkansas was proving that they are a little bit better than we gave them credit for early season. But come on, man. Tennessee's the better team here. I'm taking the Vols. Give me them to beat Florida and remind the Gators that they're a bad football team.
I think that ever since Graham Mertz has come back following his concussion, the Gators have really, really turned it around. Put up 45 over Mississippi State, beat UCF, looked against Texas A&M, at least in the second half. I agree with Lee Sterling. I think Tennessee is good enough to win the football game, but I don't think Tennessee is able to do anything that they want on the football field. They're not able to run it up with the points in the second half. So I'll take Tennessee to win, but I think it's a little bit closer than people are thinking.
Other than Texas and Oklahoma and the Cotton Bowl tomorrow at 2:30, I think the game of the week in the SEC, we talked about it earlier, inside Tiger Stadium in Death Valley at night, number 9 Ole Miss, at number 13, LSU. I keep going back and forth on this one, guy. I have a hard time it's almost like a coin flip. My man Jack Hudden loves some Garrett Nussmeier, and I'm going to roll with Jack here. And I would not be surprised to see LSU win. I would not be surprised to see Ole Miss win.
I wish there was a line that we could take on the over-under rather than picking a true winner, but if we're going back to what I said before the last break, where if you missed it during the preseason, Jacob and I had two lead pipe locks that we liked. Mine was Vanderbilt over wins and Ole Miss over wins. So I feel like I have to roll with Ole Miss. I don't want to, but if we're going strictly off of what I said in the preseason, I think Jackson Dart really, really struggled against Kentucky and the pressure that they got to him. He didn't have all time, all day in the pocket to throw, which is what happens against, you know, Power Four teams when you actually decide to play them. But I will go with Ole Miss in a shootout. Whoever has the ball last wins the football game.
I really, really want to pick Ole Miss, and I'm probably going to regret not doing it. But I just think LSU will find a way to do it. And more importantly, guys, I think Lane Kiffin finds a way to lose it. I think we see a classic Lane Kiffin scenario where he gets too big for his britches, his head's too big in Baton Rouge, he thinks he's the man when he's not, and I think LSU is going to win this game. And look, I hate to do this, but I'm going to pull an Uncle T-Bone for just a second.
Go! Hey!
I love this. LSU's going to be playing it all night long. That fight song they're going to have going ray crazy for LSU. Give me the Tigers to take down Ole Miss.
If that's the case, is this Kiffin's, you know, just walk out, walk straight to Gainesville afterwards?
Nah. I will die on the hill that he'd be an idiot to leave Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin leaving Oxford would be the dumbest, single-handedly dumbest move a head coach has ever made in his entire career. They'll never fire him. Ole Miss ain't firing Lane Kiffin. He'd be an idiot to leave. They'll pay him as much money as he wants to be a mediocre coach. They'll still be on the cusp of making a college football playoff. No, Lane Kiffin ain't going anywhere.
I don't know. Ego's ego. Eventually, I figured most of these guys just going to go to the NFL because they're going to get tired of the NIL. Ole Miss is one of the top rushing teams in the league, which is weird. I don't really think of them being a great rushing team, but a lot of those stats have come against inferior opponents. I'm going to look up what they did against Kentucky running the ball, because that to me could be the bugaboo right there for Ole Miss. If they cannot control the clock a little bit and Lane gets going crazy with his play calling and it's not hitting, I could see LSU really opening up a can here. I believe that Brian Kelly's just a more solid coach, the more fundamentally sound coach. Lane is a wild card, but man, oh man, you know, 92 rushing yards against Kentucky, that's not going to get it done. If they can't get more than that against LSU, then I don't think that they're going to have much of a chance in this game. And last but not least, tomorrow night, 6:45 on the SEC Network, a very underrated football game, I believe.
Game of the week.
Vanderbilt at Kentucky. This is one of those where I think Vegas is begging you to take the Commodores, Kentucky minus 12.5, but I'm going to drink the Commodore Kool-Aid and not only think that they continue this miraculous run covering, I believe that they can beat Kentucky. They've got more offense than the Cats, and they got a salty little defense too. I'm not sure what the over-under here is. It's probably 44.5. I think that is very low for a college football game. This will be a low-scoring game, a time-of-possession game, an old-school football game. Give me them Commodores. I'm going to keep running with them.
I couldn't agree more, except for the final result. I think this is going to be a game where if your final score and your team has a number that begins with 2, somewhere in the 20s, I think you win the football game. It could be a 20-17, even a 17-13 type of game.
I agree with that.
The Kentucky defense is very, very stout, and that's been proven week in and week out against Ole Miss and against Georgia. I don't think Pavia, who is a team that they still want to run the ball first, even with Pavia. They threw it a little bit more against Alabama, but I expect this to be just an absolute defensive battle. But I will take the Kentucky Wildcats 23-20.
Jacob, just for reference, before you go on this game,
okay,
when is the last time this happened? A Vanderbilt-Kentucky game, tickets as low as $39. South Carolina at Alabama, you can get them for $27. How's that taste, Tide?
This is in Nashville, though, and, look.
That's in Lexington.
It is, my bad. Man.
That was my 3 points right there.
Gosh.
Yep. It's a hard one. It really is.
The hardest one on the slate. I think it's the hardest one we've picked yet. Vanderbilt and Kentucky. Look, as much as I love Diego Pavia, love what he did a week ago, I just think him alone is not good enough to beat a Kentucky defense, guys, that has not given up more than 17 points all season long. They have not allowed anybody.
That's
crazy.
That
includes Ole Miss and Georgia to get into the 20s.
What did South Carolina do against them?
Never mind. Just kidding. I'm wrong.
That was the one game where they did have that slip up.
So other really than the one game, they have not.
Other than one.
My point still stands.
They gave 31 up against the Gamecocks at home.
Oh. Never mind. The old bait and switch. Diego Pavi and Vanderbilt. They get it.
There you go. That's how you do it, folks. The old Johnny flip flop.
Boom. All right. We got to get to break. I'm a professional, I swear. 334-321-1390. Those are our picks on the SEC Football Challenge. Get yours in at ESPNAU.com. We're wrapping up what's been a wild free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Been a great show here today, man. Appreciate you all being with us on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of the show today, you can go and listen to the podcast version at ESPNAU.com. We'll have that loaded for you after the show at some point. So be sure you go and check that out. We had Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com was with us. We had lots of conversations, some phone calls in there about college football. I mean, just all sorts of great stuff today. And so be sure you go and check that out at ESPNAU.com. Other than the SEC games that we just picked, guys, and there's the obvious one, of course, of Ohio State and Oregon. Any other games you have on your radar this weekend around college football? Some big teams are on a bye, but still a lot of great games out there.
Yeah, I mean, you got undefeated Iowa State. I think they got a tricky little game ahead of them.
On the road at West Virginia.
BYU hosting, who's undefeated too, hosting Arizona. That could be some trouble. You're going to start seeing just about everybody get knocked off with a loss here shortly.
Will there be any undefeateds by the time we get to the college football playoffs?
I don't think so.
With how this season has played out.
No, not by the playoffs, no. By championship game, maybe. But I really don't think so. Do y'all?
I mean, it's not – if it's got to be a group of five team possibly. Like if Boise State runs the table or something.
I think
with,
they've already got a nail.
Do they?
Does Boise? I don't know.
Guys,
don't know
they are. That you are correct. Boise State is 4-1.
Just Mr. Fact Checker.
They lost to Oregon. That is very true. I know, yeah, look at us. Just.
I mean, I was thinking BYU is a team. I know they have Arizona this week.
Telling
but,
you, Army and Navy. That's going to be the game to decide it. It's going to be 11-0 versus 11-0.
You know, the game of the week nationally, obviously, Ohio State at Oregon. I'm kind of with Jack Hutton here all week. I've kind of liked the Buckeyes, but the closer it gets to game time, the more and more I know that stadium out there in Altson, it's going to be wild. I kind of like Oregon to open up a can here.
I would love Oregon to open up a can here. That would make me so happy. Oh, it would make me unbelievably happy. And I posed this question the other day, and I was asked this on a podcast, and they said, who needs the win more, Dan Lanning or Ryan Day? That's what I said. Everybody else said Dan
They're
Lanning.
They're crazy.
I said, he's still young in his career. He's fine.
I mean, Ryan Day's been on the hot seat. There's another game in the Big Ten that is going to be a little sneaky, too, and I've watched this line all week kind of plummet.
I hate this team.
Penn State heading out to USC.
In
they
terms
are
of what they've done,
ripe for a Penn State letdown
you
here.
You better believe it. Penn State has showed me nothing this year. And for the fact that they are ranked fourth in the country is disgraceful, I think. Give me USC.
If you like free money, you might want to take a look at that Illinois drubbing Purdue line.
Oh, yikes. I haven't even seen it.
Speaking of the top 25 teams, that's a good little Illinois team at Purdue.
Sitting minus
23. Purdue is bad.
Yeah, I think that thing's jumped.
Has anybody
all week
noticed
as well
that Pittsburgh is a top 25 team?
You know,
and
undefeated? That's a funny line. They're going to host our friends from California, and I believe that on paper, California is a little bit better team, but that line continues to rise, too. They're begging you to take the Bears. Can they bounce back? Dan, my man out in California, can they bounce back from that heartbreak against Miami? I don't think so. I kind of like Pitt at home.
Old Dominion and Georgia State, the Monarchs, baby. It's the biggest game of the week right
there. And you're done. Oregon will beat Ohio State, I think. Christian, you're on the air tonight, AU100, with Lee Scott Football, 6:30 pregame kickoff at 7. I'm on the air, pregame 6:30 kickoff at 7, over on Wings 94.3 Auburn High School, hosting Smith Station. Enjoy the bye week, ladies and gentlemen. We're back on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. For Christian Griffin and Uncle T-Bone, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you later.